to you daily for finally Fracking Friday. That's right. Hey, it's a whole new world. Coming to America's out. Oh, we'll talk about that later. But no, I saw it already. It's fantastic. And it starts the weekend off too. Okay, it's not fantastic, but it's a good time. You know what I'm saying? Hi, everybody. Welcome to March 5th. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. And when I say we, it really is supposed to mean we, because the Fletchers was supposed to be here with me, but because of some complications that some people have from the second COVID shot, today it'll just be you and I, the wonderful Billy Flynn. But that's all right. We've been here before, and we know it won't last long. This date in 1590, Tycho Brahe discovers a comet in the constellation Pisces. 1616, Copernican theory is declared false and erroneous in a decree written by Cardinal Robert Bellarmine and issued by the Catholic Church. 1868, C.H. Gould of Birmingham, England, receives a patent for the first stapling device. 1904, in Electric World and Engineer, Nikola Tesla describes the process of ball lightning formation, which they sensationalized as great balls of fire. 1917, on a British RFC flight, Lieutenant Decker is lost over France when flying through a white cloud, reappearing moments later, once known to be quite cowardly and quick to turn away from a fight, traveling through the cloud seemingly helped him find his courage after flying through the cloud he faced off against German pilots, saving his outnumbered friend in the Twilight Zone. 1924, the Computing Tabulating Recording Company changes its name to International Business Machines. 1943, the Gloucester Meteor, the first British jet, makes its maiden flight. Britain will be the only Allied nation to put a squadron of jets into operation before Germany's surrender. Tally-ho. 1956, the classic 1933 monster movie King Kong film first airs on television. See, kids, you just have to wait decades to see it on TV. 1958, the Explorer 2 spacecraft is launched on a mission to detect cosmic rays, but it fails to reach Earth orbit. In 1968, the United States launches Solar Explorer B, also known as Explorer 37, in a row from Wallops Island to study the sun. 1979, detection equipment picks up a gamma ray burst originating from the Large Magellanic Cloud, leading to the discovery of soft gamma repeaters, astronomical objects which emit large bursts of gamma rays and X-rays at irregular intervals, really bothering Bruce Banner. Later that day, principal photography begins on the film Star Wars Episode V, The Empire Strikes Back, just as Voyager 1 makes its closest approach to the planet Jupiter at 172,000 miles. In 1980, Ted Stryker saves the lives of everyone on Flight 209 in what was probably the lousiest landing in the history of this airport. But there are some of us here, particularly me, who'd like to buy you a drink and shake your hand. 1982, Venera 14, a Soviet satellite, lands on the planet Venus. 1983, the Journey into Imagination horrible attraction opens in the Journey to Imagination Pavilion in Epcot at Disney World. 1986, Bellcore.com becomes the 10th.com to be registered. Still very popular. 1991, microbiologist Lonnie O. Ingham of the University of Florida is issued a patent for a process which turns garbage into fuel, and then was heavily invested in by Dr. Emmett Brown. 1993, in an early demonstration of the impact computers can have on people's lives, the LA Times reports that a blind student is taking advantage of a talking laptop to help him complete his courses necessary to graduate from UCLA. It did not kill him later, that is a rumor. 1994, Arizona lawyers Lawrence Cantor and Martha Siegel spam 6,000 Usenet groups with postings advertised green card lottery services. Many internet users subsequently fight back. This incident is the first known instance of spam. 1995, the Yahoo search engine is introduced to the internet following the company's March 1st incorporation. 1998, NASA announces the data returned by the Clementine probe in orbit around the moon has revealed that there may be enough water in polar craters to support a human colony and rocket fueling station, and that's why we have one now. 2010, Walt Disney Pictures releases the fantasy adventure film Alice in Wonderland, directed by Tim Burton, starring Johnny Depp, Mia Wasikowska, and probably Helena Bonham Carter. 2007, President Robert L. Booth initiates the atomic wars, which devastate most of the USA, the USSR, and Europe, which kind of leaves you with just one big mega city. Birthdays, Neil Jackson's 45 from Blade the series, Quantum of Solace, Push, Sleepy Hollow. Eva Mendez is 47 from Mortal Kombat, Conquest, Training Day, Ghost Rider, The Spirit, and the other guys. Kevin Connolly is 47 from Rocky V, Unhappily Ever After, Entourage, Pitch. Paul Blackthorne's 52, Dresden Files, Metallo in Justice League Doom, he's also an Arrow. Asif Manvi is 56 from Die Hard with a Vengeance, Jericho, Spider-Man 2, The Last Airbender, The Internship, Series of Unfortunate Events. Penn Jillette, the man that will tell you he was lucky enough to meet his cash cow, a guy named Teller, is 66 years old. Marcia Warfield is 67 from Legends of the Superheroes, DC Cab, Night Court, and Empty Nest. Samantha Egger is 82 from The 7% Solution, The Brood, The Phantom, and Disney's Hercules. Dean Stockwell's 85 from The Werewolf of Washington, Blue Velvet, McHale's Navy, Tim Drake in Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, Al in Quantum Leap, Duke Nukem in Captain Planet. No longer with us, born this date in 1874, Henry Travers from Death Takes a Holiday, Clarence in It's a Wonderful Life. 1894, Henry Daniel from The Body Snatcher, From the Earth to the Moon, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. 1908, Rex Harrison from The Ghost of Mrs. Muir, Cleopatra, Dr. Doolittle. 1920, Virginia Christine, The Mummy's Curse, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Billy the Kid vs. Dracula, and Mrs. Olsen in the Folgers commercials. 1922, James Noble from 10, Airplane 2, Paramedics, and was the governor on Benson. Tonight, though, God, no Benson on TV tonight. CBS has a new MacGyver, Magnum PI, not Hawaii 5-0, and a new Blue Bloods. ABC's got Shark Tank in 2020. NBC's got a new The Blacklist and a 2-hour Dateline Mundo Max. Fox with a new WWE Friday Night SmackDown, brother. CW new Who's Line, a rerun of Who's Line, then Penn and Teller, Birthday Boy. Get the finger on a new Penn and Teller. Fool us. Freeform's got a Family Guy marathon, if that's your thing. AMC showing Ghostbusters, that'd be the original. Animal Planet, Secrets of the Nazi Sub on a new Mysteries of the Deep. Predators Rising. FX is showing Baywatch, has its moments. FXX on the Simpsons marathon. The Cat in the Hat, Camp Krustier, and the Surfsons. FXM will have Tooken 3. IFC will have Mr. Spicoli ordering a pizza. It's Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Sorry, I haven't had bacon yet. BBC America's got Goldfinger. Paramount, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Over on Sci-Fi, with the ancient herb curse broken, Winona wishes she were able to celebrate, but she's thrust into another battle for her life when the town of Purgatory comes under attack of a nefarious villain she must face without her beloved gun on a new Winona Earp. She pawned her gun? I don't understand why. True TV has Liar Liar. Then it says Ride Along, but I think I didn't delete that. Science Channel has New The Unexplained Files, which would not be a very satisfying show if you think about it. VH1's got a 2-hour RuPaul's Drag Race, but tonight it's the Lifetime Movie Network. After a devastating car accident leaves a successful young man immobile, he becomes determined to overcome the injury and turns to a physical therapist to help him walk again. But her loving care becomes a sick attempt to possess her patient. Leanne Van Maul and Meredith Thomas star in Dangerous Medicine.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. When a traveling carnival comes to town, so do some assassins and some familiar faces that put Chad and Stefan on high alert. The whole thing ends with a shootout at the carnival, putting the entire town in danger. Everyone has issues to work out if they're going to make it through this doom, this perdition, this anathema, hashtag Chabby, forever.
It's time to check your mailbox.
Hey, GRD. So my girlfriend asked me what I'm laughing about, and I'm like, oh, well, this guy thinks that Roger Daltrey sang Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. And she goes, well, he did sing that. And I'm like, no, that was Elton John. And she's like, well, yeah, originally, but he did a cover for that on the Lost Boys soundtrack. Roger Daltrey as a vampire, and you do a Lost Boys reference. Well played indeed. I continue to have no idea where Chad and Abby are, but it always makes sense when you tell us how Mark figured it all out on Mondays. Hey, Mark, you could just email me. That is from Michael with The Smart Girlfriend. Roger Daltrey did a very good cover of Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. I enjoyed that quite a bit. If you've got a cover that people don't really know about so much, why don't you let us know what it is? What's your favorite one? Talk to us. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you send a voicemail, a text message telling us all about it. Just use the numbers.
510 GRD girl.
And by the way, before I forget, we drew a name and Donna won for last month. So congratulations, Donna. We need to talk and we'll talk to you and make that happen. Meantime, guess where they are, folks?
Calling all Dungeons & Dragons fans. If you like actual play podcasts, then I urge you to check out a new one. It's called You Meet in a Tavern, starring a halfling monk with a Napoleon complex, an honorable human paladin with an arsenal of horrible impressions, and an animal-loving half-elf druid whose bonds are covalent and mortgage-backed. We are 420-somethings with dull jobs by day, letting our inner nerd kid shine through our first ever D&D 5th edition campaign together. Come listen to our quest on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at YMIA Tavern. That's You Meet in a Tavern, because every good story starts in a bar.
I am Joe Lansdale, and I'm here to say you need to listen to Geek Radio Daily.
I mean, because it makes things better, right? It's the kind of thing that I like to go with. I can convince myself of that.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Well, sure they do. And sometimes these things come out. So, what's their nationwide release in the not-too-distant future next Sunday AD? Todd discovers Viola, a mysterious girl who crash-lands on his planet. One where all the women have disappeared and the men are affected by the noise, a force that puts all their thoughts on display. In this dangerous landscape, Viola's life is threatened, and as Todd vows to protect her, he'll have to discover his own inner power and unlock the planet's dark secrets. Tom Holland, Daisy Ridley, and Mads Mikkelsen. And Nick Jonas, starring Chaos Walking. Kumandra's where humans and dragons lived together long ago in harmony, but when an evil force threatened the land, the dragons sacrificed themselves to save humanity. Now, 500 years later, that same evil has returned, and it's up to a lone warrior, Raya, to track down the legendary last dragon to restore the fractured land and its divided people. However, along her journey, she'll learn that it'll take more than a dragon to save the world. It's going to take the trust and teamwork as well. Awkwafina, Adele Lim, Don Hall, Carlos Lopez Estrada starring Rey in The Last Dragon. But as previewed earlier on Amazon Prime, in the royal country of Zamunda, a newly crowned King Akeem and his trusted confidant Semi embark on an all-new, hilarious adventure that has him traversing the globe from the great African nation to the borough of Queens, New York, where it all began. Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, Craig Brewer, Wesley Snipes, everybody from the first movie in Coming to America.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, Apple TV has ordered a Korean language animated sci-fi thriller series based on the popular Dr. Brain webcomic starring Parasite actor Lee Sung-kyung. You know him, he's the one that consults often with Dr. Tran. The series follows a neuroscientist who is obsessive about figuring out new technologies to access the consciousness and memories of the brain. But really, his obsession is actually the ancient science of puzzleometry. His life goes sideways when his family falls victim to a mysterious accident, and he uses his skills to access memories from his wife's brain to piece together what actually happened and why. And maybe it's because the good doctor's brain has been drained and his thoughts need to be contained. The series will be written and directed by acclaimed I Saw the Devil filmmaker Kim Ji-woon and produced through YG Entertainment. It's currently underway with plans for a launch later this year. Dr. Brain is always ready for the master experiment. Nothing can go wrong. Since they were showing Gone with the Wind for the upteenth time last night, Turner Classic Movies debuted a new show called Reframed Classics, which promises wide-ranging discussions about 18 culturally significant films from the 1920s through the 1960s that have problematic aspects, things like Breakfast at Tiffany's, with Mickey Rooney's performance as Mr. Yunioshi, Fred Astaire's blackface routine in Swing Time, can't wait for the episode about Lethal Weapon 5. We know millions of people love these films, said TCM host Jacqueline Stewart, University of Chicago professor, who in 2019 became the channel's first African-American host. She spent her career studying classic films and is participating in many of these discussions. We're not saying this is how you should feel about Psycho or this is how you should feel about Gone with the Wind. We're just trying to model ways of having longer and deeper conversations and not just cutting it off to I love this movie, I hate this movie, there's so much space in between. See? Not canceled. TCM host Ben Mankiewicz, Dave Kreiger, Alicia Malone, Eddie Muller will also be part of the conversations. The films they selected are classics of classics. The series will have Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Gunga Din, The Searchers, My Fair Lady, Stagecoach, Woman of the Year, The Children's Hour, Guess They're Saving Birth of a Nation for later. The selection allows the host to think about Hollywood films more broadly, too. For Psycho, which airs on March 25th, the hosts talk about transgender identity in the film and the implications of equating gender fluidity and dressing in women's clothes with mental illness and violence, speaking to a bigger conversation about sexuality in Alfred Hitchcock films, and apologies if somehow that is a spoiler for you. During the My Fair Lady conversation, also on the 25th, they talk about why the film adaptation has a less feminist ending than the stage play, and Henry Higgins' physical and psychological abuse of Eliza Doolittle. Not feeding her, stuffing marbles in her mouth, it's all played for cute laughs in the film. Is it a commentary on misogyny, or just plain misogyny? Why not both? The goal of Reframed Classics is to help give an audience the tools to discuss films from a different era and not just dismiss or cancel them, and Stewart, for her part, doesn't believe you can simply remove problematic films from the culture. I think there's something to be learned from any work of art, she said. They're all historical artifacts that tell us a lot about the industry to which they were made, the cultures they were speaking to. TCM promises more shows examining culturally significant moments in film. Next up, we'll be talking Jive with Norman Alexander Gibbs and Al White. The good folks at Fright Rags are getting nostalgic with a brand new officially licensed Day of the Dead trading card set based on George A. Romero's horror classic, and it is true to the retro style of the 1980s. I got an alternative. Yeah. I got an alternative. Let's get in the old Whirlybird, find us some island place, get juiced up, and spend what time we got left soaking up some sunshine. How's that? Cocaine was a hell of a drug. Individual wax packs, full set boxes, and sealed cases of Day of the Day trading cards are available now. Ranging from $5 a single pack to $120 for a sealed case that includes 24 wax packs. A factory box, which includes 84 cards, will set you back $35. That's the trouble with the world. People keep getting different ideas concerning what they want out of life. Each factory box will give you 58 cards, 11 behind-the-scenes cards, 11 character cards, 3 memoriam cards, 1 checklist, 2 stickers. Each sealed case, limited to 300, gives you 2 full base sets, 2 sticker sets, 2 character sets, behind-the-scenes sets, memoriam sets, checklist, and 1 chase card. That's your autograph card, but no gum shaped like zombie flesh? Autographs will not be included in the $35 factory boxes, but they can be found randomly inserted into single packs. Odds of getting one of those is 1 in 24, and your autographs are of Day of the Dead actors Lori Cadrill, Terry Alexander, Jarlath Conroy, Gary Clark, Anthony DeLeo, and Greg Nicotero. Which is cool, but I'd even salute them if we could get a Sherman Howard autograph, bub. Scientists have found the exact source of dangerous rays that are fired from the sun and threaten activities on the Earth. Ray Davies? Ray Mysterio? Ray Stans? The high-energy particles are shot out of the sun during solar storms that arise in the outer atmosphere, which can be incredibly important and hazardous for life on Earth. Not only could they potentially harm air passengers and satellites, scientists fear they could one day be hit by a major disruptive storm that could do more lasting and substantial damage. You know, the perfect solar storm. Researchers at University College London and George Mason University in the U.S. believe they've located where on the sun these particles come from, in an effort to try to predict where they may strike again. The findings indicate the particles have the same fingerprint as plasma located close to the middle region of the sun's atmosphere, low in the sun's corona. Oh, that's miles away from ordinary. Researchers made the discovery using measurements from NASA's WIND satellite located between the sun and Earth. Lead author Dr. David Brooks from George Mason University added, "We're now starting a new solar cycle, and once it starts, it gets going, we will use the same techniques to see if our results are generally true or if these events are somehow unusual. Current studies suggest that they are not unusual. Science says it happens every day. No matter what you say, you find it happens all the time." Let's be honest for a second, right? The amount of Pokemon branding in Japan is kind of insane. I mean, the Snorlax beanbag chair is cool, but did anyone really need the Pokemon cologne or that 90s Meryl foam costume? But just wait. Now, Japanese fishing equipment company Duo has teamed up with the Pokemon company for made-in-Japan Pikachu and Kygor-themed lures. Pikachu is a slow jitter type, while Kygor is a crawler type, and somewhere, Joe is saying for the first time in his life, "I gotta catch them all." Duo explains that Pikachu's tail is not only a well-designed element, but it's also functional and effective in getting you that catch, but adds that the ears can be easily damaged, so be careful when casting the lure. And I'm just like, where is the Magikarp one? Huh? Whatever. From this day forward, trainers, you take your golden rods, and you go for the gold, Dean. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Which is always a fun... Sorry, it was just over the thing. Gotta keep pushing stuff out of the way. You should drop us a note. Tell us what's going on in your world, in your life, and would you fish with Pokemon stuff? Joe, if no one else, you have to weigh in on this subject. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, a voicemail or text message. Send those. Just use the numbers.
510-GRD.
And we will see you, and I do mean we, not that long from now. Have a good weekend, everybody.
What do you think?
It stinks!
Man. Game over, man! Game over!
Creeps like you should be in a cage!
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but to say.
Now, I recognize that Google is not a conventional workplace. Having said that, we have rules. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. You are going to raise the green paddle to indicate yes, and the red paddle to indicate no. So, let's begin. Having a beer with your boss. Some of you are under 21.
Some of us aren't under 21, so if you want to grab a cold one with me, I'm happy to do that with you.
I will not be grabbing a cold one with you.
You get high?
I don't get high.
Okay. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, people do it.
Dating a fellow intern. This is Google, not Match.com.
Chetty, excuse me. What about a full-time employee, say management level, but not a direct supervisor, great eyes, and a severity to her look that is surprisingly sexy? What's the policy on that? No? That's frowned upon also?
So we'll say no to love.
We'll say no to love, yes.
That's going to be a no.